Well, can I just say, in adding to Noel's greeting this morning, a Happy New Year on our behalf, on our family. It's great to see you all out this morning as we begin this new year together. Perhaps you've been following along with some of us as we've been reading along and going on this journey of following the star. And we're going to do that again this morning as we return to this well-worn passage and looking at the journey of the Magi as they seek the Christ child. But as we reflect back and just go a few moments further in the story, we've been looking at the whole Christmas story over these past weeks. Christmas, it's one of my favorite times of the year. I think it probably is my favorite time of the year with all the lights and the decorations and the presents and the food. And it's a great time to pause and to remember what Christ has done, to give thanks for his goodness to you and your family and those you love. But year after year, there's this other ritual that plays out on the other side of Christmas, right about now, as it did in our home on Friday. The ornaments come down off the tree. The lights are packed away. The tree gets taken outside and is on its way for recycling. And as things get boxed away and put back in the roof space until next year, and with the new year ringing in the background, I think every year there's this sense of what next? What's this year going to bring? What's around the corner? What's new to look forward to? Because if you're anything like me, you get to this point in the year, the very start, after a wonderful holiday, hopefully, and you sort of come down with a bit of a bump. And you're thinking, what next? We pause to celebrate Christ's birth. We're now returning to normal life. We go back to work. If you've got kids in the house, you've got school runs and childminding and chores and messages, and you've got bills to pay and you've got responsibilities to see through. And it would be easy, I think, to settle back into normal life and just to carry on just as it were before Christmas. But what we've been hearing, the message we've been hearing over the past few weeks as we've been looking at the stories, we've been delving deeper into it and drilling down into the coming of Christ and what it means for us, is that actually we can't return to normal. Things can't be the way they always were. As we've celebrated and as we now ask that question, what next, we have to realize that the reality of Christ's coming means that something has got to change, that it really does make a difference into how you will live 2020. And so as we ask the question, what next, we looked at this passage here and the Magi and the way they journeyed towards the Christ child. And I think we find answers here as we ask that question for our lives today and for 2020. Matthew's gospel here, hot on the heels of Christ's birth. The very next thing is we find these wise men. And we've all grown up singing that song, and as Noel's kindly and gently reminded us several times, how many wise men were there? We don't know. We don't know. We sing that there were three, but we don't know. There were three gifts. As we think about, who these people were, we don't know if they were kings. They may have been. What we do know is this, is that Magi originally referred to priests or experts of mysteries in Persia and Babylon. How would you like that to be your job title? Expert of mysteries. So these were priests, these were expert of mysteries in those days from Persia or Babylon. But by that time, it may have just simply referred to wise men or wise people. People who in those days would have been experts in astrology and studying the stars and dream interpretation and the study of sacred writings, the pursuit of wisdom and magic. Men who in those days would have been thoroughly pagan. As the saying goes, they weren't from around here. In fact, as Isaiah wrote about them, he condemned them for their pagan practices back in the day. These people were far from God in one sense, and yet they were searching for God. And they may have found themselves in positions of importance as advisors to kings. Still, in the Jewish mindset, they were outsiders. They weren't on the inside. And so it's interesting, we come to them in Matthew's gospel right at the beginning. It's a book, it's a gospel that's written for a Jewish audience. But what we discover is that Christ's first worshipers were pagans. They were outsiders. Now this would have caused Matthew's readers to sit up and take notice. Matthew's not denying, I don't think, that the shepherds came first. Because if you look chronologically in the story, these guys probably showed up when Christ was about two. The shepherds showed up the night of his birth, right around there at the very beginning. But Matthew's not ignoring that. He's not leaving them out, but he's moving on to a different part of the story in order to emphasize a different aspect. And we need to hear what Matthew's trying to say. And contrary to what we might expect, Christ's first worshiper that Matthew records here is not Herod, the king. He's not the politically powerful. He's not the one with all the clout. We read later that Herod tried to kill Jesus. It also wasn't the Jewish leaders. It wasn't the people who thought they had it all sussed. It wasn't the people who were the really religious ones, who everyone thought they had it together. Those guys, in their complacence, they thought they understood, they thought they knew the Bible, but they missed the boat. Instead of going to see for themselves, they gave away Jesus' whereabouts to this madman, Herod. And so what we discover here is it wasn't the politically powerful, it wasn't the person that had all the clout, it wasn't the really religious people who first came and worshipped Jesus, it was these magi, these pagan outsiders who came to worship Jesus first, which, as we see in the next slide here, they came not because they were the best or the brightest, but simply because they were looking. And when they saw the star, they researched its meaning. They concluded that something amazing was taking place before them. Something that would change history forever. They didn't quite understand it, perhaps, but they understood that something was happening that would justify sacrificing their time and their treasure to be a part of and to journey towards. Something that was bigger than anything that they had ever worshipped and which demanded their full attention and their respect. I want you to think about that for a minute. Because if we put that slide back up for just 1 second longer. Sometimes we fall into that trap of thinking to ourselves that only those really special people can be really close to God. Only those people who have it all together can be close to God. Only those people who are really religious, do all the right things, can find God. But actually what we discover right from the beginning here is that these magi, these wise men, they came not because they were the best or the brightest, but simply because they were looking. And I want us to think about that this morning. And I want you to ask the question, what are you looking for in 2020? What are you looking for? These men were looking and they were searching for God. They were searching for something that was bigger than themselves, and they discovered something that was bigger than they had ever worshipped before that demanded their full attention and their respect. In their day, they were searching for God in the only way that they knew how. They didn't know any better. But still, God showed up for them. He hung this star in the sky for them to follow. We don't know exactly what kind of star it was. Maybe it was an angel disguised as a star to lead the way. Maybe it was a comet. Who knows? Whatever the case, this was God's special announcement to the world that His Son was here. You know, I think the fact that God reveals Himself to these magi says several things. And I want us just to, before we move beyond next week and move away from the Christmas story, I want us to think about what God might be saying. Because I'm asking the question to you this morning, what is it you're looking for in 2020? But I want to turn that around and I want to ask the question, what is it that God is looking for? What's God looking for? And firstly, I want to say to you this morning that it doesn't matter who you are, whether you've been in church from Sunday school, whether you're rich like the Magi, whether you're as poor as the shepherds, whether you've been well-read, you've read lots of books, you know lots of stuff, or whether you feel distinctly average or even second-rate. It doesn't really matter to God. What God is looking for is, He's looking for somebody who's looking for Him. God is looking for someone who's looking for Him. And who, as He begins to reveal Himself to them, will search and search and follow the leads until they find Christ in that Bethlehem manger. In this time of the year, when we're all looking for that what's next thing in January, we're maybe making our New Year's resolutions, if you do those. But we're thinking about what's next. I think it's worth taking a step back and saying, not just what am I looking for out of this new year, but ask the question, what is God looking for in this new year? He's looking for someone who's looking for Him. Are you? Secondly, for each of us, that searching will happen in different ways as we set out in our hearts to look for Him, but we all have the same source. And God is looking for people who are looking for Him in His Word. You know, the wise men followed the star. They saw the star in the sky. They followed it in the only way that they knew how in those days. And but when it came to actually finding Jesus, they had to consult God's Word in order to find the exact location. We read here that as they got there, they got to the king's court, and the king had to ask the religious leaders of the day where this Messiah was supposed to be found, to be born, and they looked back to Micah. They looked back to the prophets of old, and they discovered it was Bethlehem. That's where this Messiah was to be born. They were relying on God's Word to actually find Jesus. And you know, deep within each of us, there is that longing for the eternal. There's that longing for something more, and there's a desire to search for and find God. And the question we've got to ask ourselves is, are we devoted to seeking Him like those Magi did? If they were coming from Babylon, which is quite possible, they would have had to travel some 800 miles. 800 miles. Look in the next picture here. I've put a map up. From John O'Groats, just at the tip of Scotland up north, down to Land's End at the bottom, that's about 834 miles. If you were driving by car straight and you didn't stop, it would take you, it says, 14 hours and 10 minutes. These guys didn't have cars. They were on camels at best. It would have taken days, weeks. If they averaged 20 miles a day, the trip would have taken about 40 days. And even when they got there, they still had to stop and ask for directions before finally finding Jesus for themselves. There was effort, there was intentionality about their searching. They didn't just happen upon the manger. They didn't just accidentally find Christ along the way or randomly bump into His parents. In a time of setting plans and setting commitments for the year ahead in your own life. The question is, what are you going to do this year in order to order your life in such a way as to allow yourself the best possible chance of finding Christ and hearing His voice for yourself? Whether you're somebody who is still searching for God and still wondering whether God exists and whether He loves you and what part that plays in your life, or whether you're somebody who has found Him and who has followed Him for many years, still the question remains the same for each of us this morning, is what are you going to do this year in order to order your life in such a way as to allow yourself time to find Christ and to hear His voice? See, not only were these wise men looking and willing to follow, but thirdly, they were willing to embark on this journey to find Christ. And it was a long journey. It was a hard journey. It required sacrifice along the way. It required perseverance. They had to keep going. 800 miles is a long way when you're on foot or on camel. And the tempting and the easy option as we enter 2020, I think, is just to glide in. It's just to do business as usual. Just as we finished 2019, we just carry on with 2020. As if nothing had ever happened. But the story of Christ's birth and the visit of the Magi command a different kind of response, one that requires us to seek Christ out for ourselves. And if those pagans, those people who were considered far from God and considered outsiders of the faith, if they could take time and make the effort to journey in order to find Christ, I wonder if maybe we could think this morning about how we could do things a little bit differently in our own lives in 2020 in order to help us to find Christ, to hear His voice, to grow in our faith and in our relationship with Him more this year. Instead of sitting back and hoping that faith just happens to us this year, instead of sitting back and hoping that that relationship with God just deepens happenstance or randomly this year, the question I want us to ask is, are we entering 2020 with our eyes open? Are we looking for and reading the signs? You know, the Magi, they followed a star. But we have something far greater. Well, we celebrate this morning the coming of Christ and His life and His death on the cross for us. But we discover about all of that in God's Word, in the Bible. And God's Word points us to Jesus far more clearly than any star could have ever done for those Magi. And so the question is, will we devote ourselves to reading God's Word, to studying it here, not just at church on Sundays, but throughout the week in times of personal reflection and devotion and prayer? Will we study it in our life groups with others? Will we read Christian books that stretch our mind and that encourage our hearts and help us to understand God's Word and to grow in our faith too? Maybe this year you'll take up the opportunity to check out Bible reading plans. And I've put a few up on Facebook if you're interested in going there and seeing some of the possibilities that are tools to help you to read God's Word in a consistent, intentional, and ongoing, everyday kind of way in order to read God's Word systematically and thoroughly and intentionally, in order to help you to grow in your relationship with God and meet and know the Lord Jesus more clearly. All of that takes effort. It takes sacrifice, like those wise men who sacrificed in order to go and to journey in order to find Jesus. But God is looking for people who are willing to go on a journey. And so what is the journey that God is inviting you to take this year? Are you looking for Him? Are you creating space and time? And are you creating opportunities in your life in order to look for Him intentionally in His Word? And are you willing to go with me and with the church on a journey this year as we seek to know Him more? And what does that look like? It looks like being more intentional about His Word. It looks like being more intentional, I think, about community, spending time together growing and serving and going as we share the good news of Christ with others. But none of that just happens. We don't just fall into those things. We have to be intentional, like those wise men. The good news, though, is that when we do these things, it leads us to Christ. And when we find Christ, just like those wise men, we discover, it says there in verse 10, they saw the star, they were overjoyed. They were filled with joy. Something happened deep within them that changed everything. They were overjoyed, and on coming to the house, they saw the child and his mother Mary. They bowed down and they worshipped Him. Everything changed when they met Christ. They worshipped Him. They were filled with joy. And it wasn't just a kind of joy that makes you feel good. The kind of joy that we're talking about here, I'm sure there was a sense of relief when they found Christ. I'm sure there was a sense of, we finally did it. We've achieved something. We got here. But there's a sense of joy which fills the hearts of believers and holds us even in times of frustration or sorrow or suffering or pain. Worshippers who seek Christ and are on this journey to finding Him and who are walking with Him and are growing in relationship with Him and living Him are able to joyfully say, no matter what happens to us in this life, it's well with my soul. Because like those magi, I found Christ. I found the only thing that matters. And I'll live my life for worshiping Him in a wholehearted, devoted way for Him. I think the other thing to say, and we were thinking about this a little bit in our prayer time this morning beforehand, in our boiler room prayer session. And again, I just want to highlight that. Because as we put things in our life, if we open up opportunities in our life in order to be able to search for and look for and find God, to hear His voice, we grow in a sense of expectancy. Because we genuinely believe that not only will we find Him, but He will show up and He will actually change and make a difference in our life for the better. And what we were praying about this morning and talking about briefly was growing in a sense of expectancy. And I just wondered, that just as those wise men were on that journey and they were expecting to find something on the other side when they found where that star was leading. I wonder, again, as we think about 2020 for ourselves, what are you looking for and what are you expecting God to do this year that's different than last year? I'm expecting that every Sunday when we gather together to worship, that God is going to be here in our midst. I'm expecting that God is going to show up. I'm expecting that as we look for God, we will find Him. I'm expecting that as we cry out to God, we will hear from Him. I'm expecting that as we ask God to do the extraordinary in our lives and in the lives of others and bring transformation, that He will. I'm expecting that God will do great things this year in 2020, things beyond which He did last year or the year before, fresh things, new things. He will bring new life and new power and fresh energy and growth for you and for the church, transformation here and in our community. But brothers and sisters, I want to tell you this morning that that stuff doesn't just happen. You don't just fall into that kind of a thing. You expect it and you go on a journey to find it. And I want to ask the question this morning as we close is, are you with me? Are you with me in expecting that? And do you want to go on a journey? That's the invitation for each of us this year in 2020. I've shared the story before about Larry Waters, and I want to share it again this morning because I think it's such a powerful illustration of the point that I'm making. We don't just fall into these things. And Larry Waters, he was a 33-year-old guy who I think I've read in various articles different things about his life, but I think he always wanted to be a pilot. But because of his eyesight wasn't very good. He couldn't pass the exams. He wouldn't be able to ever be a pilot. But he decided that he wanted to see his neighborhood from a different perspective. He still had a dream to fly. And so what he did was he went down to his local Army surplus store one morning, and he bought 42 used weather balloons. Now, weather balloons are like massive things, you know, and they're filled with this helium air. What he decided to do is he would strap himself to his lawn chair, and he would fill these balloons. He would stick the balloons on the lawn chair as well. He had a pellet gun, a BB gun in his hand, and took a six-pack of beer. I'm not sure what he was going to do with that, but he had a peanut butter and jelly sandwich. That's an important thing, a staple to take along for his food. And he sat himself down on this lawn chair, and he figured that he would go up and he'd shoot these balloons one at a time, and he would enjoy a bit of a flight, see his neighborhood from a different perspective. What he didn't realize was just how quickly 42 weather balloons would go up. He assumed they would lift him about 100 feet in the air, but he was caught off guard when the chair soared to more than 16,000 feet in the sky, right in the middle of the air traffic control pattern of Los Angeles. So you can imagine now he's got planes who are right on his level. They're flying all around him. There he is in his lawn chair, 42 weather balloons and his pellet gun in his hand. He was trying to shoot the balloons, but he couldn't do it fast enough, and then he lost the grip on the pellet gun. So he's no means of killing the balloons, and he's sitting up in the air, 16,000 feet in the sky, and it was about, I think, 2 hours he was airborne, over 2 hours, until finally the helium had died down enough to allow him to drop back to ground. And when the reporters came to him, they were asking him, why did you ever think of doing that? And he was trying to answer. They asked first, were you scared? Yes. Would you do it again? No. Why did you do it? He says, because you can't just sit there. You see, Larry had a dream. He had a dream that things could be different. He had a dream that he knew could be realized, but he had to go on a journey in order to actualize it. And this year, I just wonder, what are you looking for? Well, can I just tell you that God is looking for you? He loves you. And he can be found by you. But like those wise men, we've got to go on a journey. We've got to be intentional. We've got to be serious about trying to find him. We've got to put things in our lives to give us that opportunity to not just search, but to find him in his word, in community with others. And the other thing about these wise men, they went away changed. I expect great things out of 2020. I hope you do too. I expect that God is going to bring transformation to your life and to my life, to this church and this community in 2020. I hope you do too. And I invite you, in Christ's name, to go on that journey with me this year. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for Christ. We thank you that Christ changes everything. But we thank you, Father, that you show us in your word what it looks like to seek the one who changes everything. Father, these wise men, they gave up everything in order to go and No matter what it costs, they went and they journeyed to the end. But Father, it was so worth it. And Father, you know each of our hearts this morning, where we are, where we're coming from. You know the disappointments and frustrations, perhaps, or the joys that we've recently experienced. But Father, you know, as we look forward in 2020 to the year ahead, you know what we're facing. You know the questions, you know the concerns, you know the doubts. You know perhaps even the excitements. Father, I pray that you would fill us with a fresh sense of wonder. Like those wise men who found the Christ child and were overjoyed, fill our hearts with joy. And Father, fill our hearts with a fresh sense of expectancy as we look forward to what it is you're going to do here in this place and in our lives over this next year. But Father, give us a fresh sense of commitment to you as we seek to commit ourselves to looking for you, to searching for you, to finding you, to hearing your voice, and to going where you lead in this new year. And as we do, we pray, Father, that you would do that work of changing our hearts, changing our lives, changing our church and our community and our world around us for the glory of your name. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.